Good morning.
Good morning.
That's good. Everyone's still alive. Or is it good? Thank you for your efforts so far. Session is always an opportunity for real depth. Or the conditions are arranged in such a way that it helps facilitate an inquiry of real depth. That depth is always available, but it's helpful to set up the container. You know, Sesshin really is about creating some heat. It's not the easiest activity in some ways, you know, if we compare it to other activities. It's often a stretch, the first one, the second one, the 50th, 100th one. Sesshin is always demanding in that way. That's for a good reason. You know, this tradition has been maintained these many centuries, not as a cultural oddity or anything like that, but rather because it has proven effective means for those people entering in to do the real work of say spiritual transformation, real work of uncovering and realizing satisfaction in this life. This is the reason it continues, the forms are maintained. And that heat is really raising things up and concentrating the energy. That way, anything that needs to really come into the light can come into the light, can be brought up and dealt with, which is often difficult to do in our life of everyday demands and concerns. I wanted to bring up a writing by Master Dogen. First of all, I wanted to say, remind us of the first line of the Tao Te Ching. Now, of course, Taoism is it's a major ingredient in what became Chan and Zen tradition, with that merging of Indian Buddhism coming to China and meeting the established understandings and practices of the day. This was already old at that time. In the Tao Te Ching, it says the Tao, or the way, we say the way, that can be spoken of is not the constant Tao. So the way that can be spoken of is not the true way. Sometimes it's translated of a constant way. And it's important to apply that. You know, we have these Dharma talks and different people take on that responsibility, fulfill that role and say some things. But the true Tao, or the constant Tao, that can be spoken of is not the constant Tao. Or as Bodhidharma said at the as a pivotal statement for that's ascribed to him for the foundation of Zen, it is an intimate teaching, not based on words and letters. So it's not something that is somebody finds, possesses, and then deals out. The way is not residing with one person who has ownership of it and then it's dispensed. Everybody, without exception, is already the constant way. And the teachings of the Dharma do not cease from dawn till dusk and all through the night. Its appearances in words and forms, objects, people. But again, with the tradition, it's helpful that we have these forms which we refine and use to raise the most essential questions to the surface, so that each one of us has the opportunity to really to look deeply for ourselves and to make this life clear for ourselves. When I say make it clear, not so that, you know, we wander around in some kind of wise clarity all the time, not that kind of clear, but clear when it's confusing, clear when we're fearful, clear whatever the circumstance, the clarity that this is the constant way. This is the great life, the same life as the life of Shakyamuni Buddha, Dogen Zenji, each one of us. Ted brought up at the beginning of session a couple of lines from Fuken Zazengi. I wanted to bring up part of that text today. Aishu also in his talk brought up a line that appears in here. Roshi often expounds or will bring up lines from his text, a very short text. But one I return to over and over again, I will look at it. Really, because if I want to learn about something, it's nice to have it on one page. This is the whole of practice in one page. Really, if you take his way of Zazen and really apply that, then you need no further instruction in Zen or in Zazen. And it's interesting that he gave this teaching when he recently returned back from China. He left Japan, made that difficult voyage, and went to China, studied, and then returned. So he saw this as the most important thing. You know, in the translation, we say is the universal recommendations, rules for Zazen. I might have mistranslated that, but very close. Okay. Anyway, he says, the way is basically perfect and all-pervading. How could it be contingent upon practice and realization? The Dharma vehicle is free and untrammeled. What need is there for concentrated effort? Indeed, the whole body is far beyond the world's dust. Who could believe in a means to brush it clean? It is never apart from one, right where one is. What is the use of going off here and there to practice? There's a certain irony. What is the use of going off here and there to practice after coming back from 3 years in China? Right? He had to do that. He said he went with his companion, but he went to China, who didn't, died pretty much upon arrival there. It wasn't an easy journey. Dogen Zenji had already finished koan study and had become accomplished in the Rinzai school, a transmission in Rinzai school. Although, in his words, he said, after those years, he learned a little about the Rinzai school. So he felt it necessary to inquire further. Each one of us who comes to a practice as such as this has the way-seeking mind. That's established. We say that at the beginning of session in the precautions. Each person that comes, doesn't matter what background, age, or circumstance, unless, you know, you just screwed up and came to the wrong retreat camp. You thought you were in the next valley. But even then, maybe you're still in the right place. But each one who comes is driven, has that question. There's something there to be resolved. There is a gap that needs to be closed. There's, even with all of whatever years of practice, often there's a sense of still, you know, there's something here that needs to be refined. You know, we talk about that raising heat in session. You know, our method, really, in these long periods and these days, it's a slow cooking. It's like a slow cooking, you know, which is difficult. And in this society, you know, as we see, is often not that popular. You know, we prefer 2 minutes in the microwave for many reasons, because we're so busy. But it's a slow cooking. Why go off here and there to practice? We go where we need to go and do what we need to do in order to realize. You know, Tenshin Roshi came from England. There were no teachers. He needed a strong teacher. Came to LA, 10,000 miles. I came here to study with him. Many of you are from all over this, you know, different countries, or come from all over the States. Come to this one place in order to practice. Why do we go off here and there? And in this next line, Dogen says, so what is the use of going off here and there? It's never apart from one, right where one is. And yet, if there is the slightest discrepancy, the way is as distant as heaven from earth. That is the kicker. If there is the slightest discrepancy. A lot of the years of the practice, the process of practice, is resolving that discrepancy. That ever elusive discrepancy, the ways that we're able to conjure our own difficulties. Conjure our own difficulties. He goes on, if the least like or dislike arises, the mind is lost in confusion, the source of our difficulties, our human conditioned approach. We are well practiced at approaching things in a dualistic context. And we bring it to a practice such as this one and continue to try and apply it. So not aware of any of the tools, these are the ones we have, and we keep trying to pound that square peg in. If the least like or dislike arises, the mind is lost in confusion. Zazen offers the opportunity to see into this picking and choosing. We have that, again, a very old instruction that says the great way, constant Tao, the way of Zen, is not difficult. It dislikes picking and choosing, or is averse to picking and choosing. We are adept, functionally, at picking and choosing. We do it all day. It isn't the enemy, but when we apply that picking and choosing to the practice of Zazen, then that is sitting on the ground, picking and choosing. And perhaps waiting for something to happen. you should cease from practice based on intellectual understanding, pursuing words, following after speech, and learn the backward step that turns the light inward to illuminate yourself. These lines are gold. You should therefore cease from practice based on intellectual understanding. Each one of us understands that beyond an intellectual, we understand it intellectually. You know, I read a thing recently talking about the birth of the universe. It's a contemporary of Stephen Hawking, a collaborator with him, and how they think they may have found some evidence for the previous universe to this one. It's a mathematical model that predicts when the old universe collapses and reborn in a big bang, it leaves these little markers, little points in the cosmic background radiation. And they found these points. So there's some support for this cyclic Kalpa. How very interesting that we pick up these old texts and find these dudes in China a few thousand years ago talking about the same thing. This constant way. Now, maybe it's so, maybe it isn't. As, you know, it made me laugh at what Ted brought up about the dark matter, antimatter doesn't matter. In one sense, it doesn't matter. A universe before this one, a universe to come. In one sense, it doesn't matter. But yeah, is it not extraordinary? Is this life not extraordinary? Often we're so consumed with our conditioned circumstances that wonder of this constant appearance is obscured and demeaned. You know, we have our practice for Zazen often. Perhaps we're following our breath, or doing koan, or just sitting, shikantaza. And we'll go to Doksan or a Daisan interview. We'll bring up, okay, so I'm doing this for my breath. Okay, so there's that. Now this is what's really going on for me. And we move from the practice to what is most important in the present condition, in whatever's going on. We focus, we go to the story of the problems that are going on in our life. There will always be problems in our life, and then we die. And that is not the constant doubt. That is not the way to approach. The Zazen, we're given the instruction in the way to approach. You take even that example of following the breath. Is it enough to do Zazen and follow the breath? Said that Ananda asked the Buddha many years into his teaching career, the monks are asking what you do when you meditate. What do you do? 20 years in. And the Buddha said, I sit with awareness of breath. You can imagine the disappointment from some people. Oh, really? That's what he's doing? Well, it was enough for Shakyamuni Buddha and his great awakening to then sit with awareness of breathing. The extraordinary miracle of breath. That it doesn't have to be, if we are fortunate, it doesn't have to be conjured up or worked on. It is so. Breathing occurs. And we breathe. Is that enough? Because often we go right over the top of that and then bring everything else in that is difficult. And our picking and choosing begins. as he says, you know, refrain from intellectual understanding, pursuing words. I was appreciating the Jukai ceremonies that we have. It says, now, no longer follow dualistic teachers. You have to go beyond that right and wrong. Go beyond the worldview of the descriptions and make a leap beyond that. And as Master Dogen asks us or implores, learn the backward step that turns the light inward to illuminate yourself. The practice of Zazen. Now, this Zazen is not just only confined to the Buddha hall, right? Or sitting here. But this vehicle, the way that we set this up, Zazen, the posture, the body enjoys. It may complain, but it enjoys, the body-mind enjoys the act and the expression of sitting. When you really allow it, then you understand the half smile on the Buddha image that you see. The half smile that is the basis of contented Zazen, the sitting. You cease pursuing words or following after speech that occurs between the ears. Cease pursuing words or following after speech. Our own voice that we're so enamored of. Say our own, again, where there's no possession there. There's the ghost in the shell. What that is. Who knows? You know, we treat it as a fixed entity that is all, then we know, we, our tradition informs us over and over again, inherently dissatisfactory, search for, to assuage our present desire. That is the that is how we're wired. The human being is wired that way in order to get the most food, procreate, die, on we go. It's that evolutionary drive. The Zazen, though, when we sit, it's arranged so that we have the ideal gate. As Master Dogen called it, the front gate. Zazen is the front gate. There's nothing going on that needs really to be done. An original self is manifest in all directions. Inside, outside, up, down, in every way. Nothing to do. And then, when the bell is struck, then the practice is engage intimately and wholeheartedly with the practice of Zazen. Whatever that instruction is, whatever our practice is, don't demean it and like, I'm doing this while I look for something else or something better. If you exhaust your practice, then Roshi will give you something else to work on. But the Buddha didn't exhaust breath awareness in his career. So it really doesn't matter. The shift, that difference is, take the backward step that illumines self and cease picking and choosing. So, you know, as we have plenty of opportunity to see how this functions in our sitting. We sit, a bell struck, breathing, Zazen begins. Now what is that? The mind, or the brain, continues to produce, secrete thoughts. And perhaps some of those are just random things, firings of neurons, memories from 30 years ago, thinking about 2 weeks hence, going, it's extraordinary. It's extraordinary. 10 minutes in, you could be walking down a street in your town where you grew up, you know, or whatever occurs. But if we reach in and do something with that, find some value in that, or raise that up as being any more important than the feeling in our feet, then that's picking and choosing. That's reaching in and toying with this constant doubt. Far better to allow what is occurring, to welcome the present expression as it is, and to continue to resolutely sit. The body is arranged. The mind, my thoughts are produced. It's of no consequence. It's a busy mind. That's irrelevant. It's a quiet mind. It doesn't matter. Now, we may reach in there intellectually and say, well, so what? What's so good about that? That's still picking and choosing. It's not enough to watch it unfold either. It's not enough, like, I'm going to watch this movie of me. I'm going to watch the thinking come and go. I'm going to see the room and the people. And look, I'm in. I'm watching. Then you're just watching a boring movie. That is a position to be dissolved. The place of a witness there, that's nice. You can establish a place of a witness and count it out with some practice. Then go beyond that. Go beyond that in Zazen. Let that dissolve. Let that fall off. Disappear. Disappear. Disappear when you sit. So there's nothing left. It's doing nothing. It's not nothing. It's doing nothing. There's some doing. There's some effort. That's what there's effort in Zazen. Effort in Zen, in this practice. Often we just come in, we sit, once we've learned the ropes, and we come in and we just knock it in neutral and then just drift around the ocean. Nothing's much happening today. That's okay. You know, that's fine. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, session's finished tomorrow. So we arranged all this time, the money, the cost and everything, so now is the time to really, to be sure, to really go to the depths, to stretch, to see. You know, is there something here? Is this satisfactory? Is the breath enough? Is this life understood? Do I know this one intimately? That backward step. Turn the light inward. He says then, body and mind of themselves will drop away. That is indeed fortunate. Nothing to do. Body and mind of itself will fall away. But you have to put yourself the effort in to be in the place of body and mind falling away. Otherwise, you're always walking around the perimeter. You know, you have to create the heat in session, otherwise nothing really gets cooked. But we do that, we put ourselves in that place of not picking and choosing, of being intimate with this, then body and mind of themselves drop away, and your original face will be manifest. If you want to attain suchness, you should practice suchness without delay. She reaches back again, older in the tradition, to use a line here that was already old when he quoted this. If you wish to be a person of suchness, practice it without delay. Perhaps it's not time for Zazen. Then how do I practice without delay? But when Zazen, the bell is struck to conclude the period, what occurs? Unwinding of the legs. Standing. Being intimate with standing. Walking. It's not just another period of kinhin. It is the expression of the constant Tao in appearance, the miracle of raising a foot, the mystery of exhalation of breathing. One foot raises up, one foot pushes down. When you really look, that's enough. And you walk. And then we walk faster, practicing suchness without delay. When we leave, practicing the suchness of retrieving the shoes and heading for lunch. The great gift of the schedule being repeated day after day is to, you know, strip away the what's next, the entertainment, or oh, what's coming up now. You know what's coming up now. You know what's next. It's embodied. You know what's next. You don't need any more announcements after the first day. It's lunch, thank God, you know. So, but then being intimate with that, the next thing, over and over. So at one's roots, really, one's roots are deep in this place of awakening. This is the abode. Present awareness is one's home, one's true home. And you live there. And the more, and as you live there, the diversions, the escapes, the what ifs, the blame, the whys, those things, you see them for what they are. You see our conditioned reflex, our reaction. That's okay, human being, same as everybody else. But you don't confuse it. You're not confused in the same way. There's just picking and choosing and preferences. Cast aside all involvements. Cease all affairs. And this is medicine, strong medicine. Can we do that? Cast aside involvements and cease all affairs. Do not think of good or bad. Do not administer pro and con. Cease all movements of a constant mind, of a conscious mind, and the gauging of thoughts and views, and have no designs on becoming a Buddha. Cease all movements of a conscious mind. This points right at this principle. Don't move. Be intimate with what is occurring. And when you stand outside it, you pick one thing up and run with it, or you add to it, then you continue to constructing an identity. Particularly in Zazen, that is a time to dissolve the identity. The person who we think we are, and let that dissolve. Cease movement of a conscious mind. When you really stop, cease movement, then you realize what this line is. The way that can be spoken of is not the constant way. You see the one thing, it doesn't move. The one thing that doesn't change. And how it is expressed in flesh, a rock. He says, you have gained a pivotal opportunity of a human form. You know, sometimes I'd read this, and as a writing by Master Rinzai, where he talk about how lucky it is to be human, and sometimes I'm like, oh, I don't know. Sure, it's a pivotal opportunity. You know, sometimes I've learned the six worlds of Buddhism, who puts us one step over on from the animals. I'm like, not sure about that. Might want to switch that around. Sometimes it's very problematic. We have this opportunity, whether it's pivotal or not, we have this opportunity of a human form. Look at like the great blessing of this present expression, or even this circumstance now. If we cover that up, or obscure or demean that, yeah, but these are my problems. It was this morning when I was walking down home and I saw something in the road and I looked down and there was a king snake, a baby king snake. It was dead. I thought it was alive at first. It didn't look dead. It was tiny and I know they can't, and I'm like, I'm going to prod it. Oh no, it's dead. Okay. So then I picked it up and this king snake's about beautiful colours, right? About 5 inches long. Dead. Where's the meaning in that? You know? Coming and going. You see, you know, the inherent flimsiness, shaky investment in the world of, in the appearance of form, in forms, as you know, from the core of our tradition. Or even if you never encountered Buddhism, you know, it says the universal recommendation. It's not just for people on earth. This universal, Zazen is universal. Present awareness is universal. But we have the opportunity of human form. We have the opportunity of a tradition replete with teachings and a skillful method in order to really to resolve whatever questions we may have. Do not use your time in vain. You are maintaining the essential working of the Buddha way. You. Please, honored followers of Zen, long accustomed to groping for the elephant, do not be suspicious of the true dragon. But you know, we could say, elephant in the room, what's an elephant? And everyone's got their... I don't know if that was an old story then, but that's how I take it. You know, but don't be suspicious of the true dragon. It looks back at a old story where somebody who loved dragons, paintings of dragons and had tattoos of dragons, and the house was decorated with dragons, and then one day the true dragon showed up and they screamed and ran off. Session. This is a true dragon. Devote your energies to a way that directly indicates the absolute. Devote your energies to a way that directly indicates this constant way. You know, Roshi will bring up how, so Maizumi Roshi would said that somebody said he always talked about emptiness and this absolute principle. And he said, yeah, that's so. It's because people don't see it, that's why. People don't see this intrinsic principle. It's all on the perimeter, still on the outside. This vehicle of Zen is never about walking the perimeter. Although being on the outside, looking in. And whatever its appearance, whatever this appearance is, but rather being fully involved with whatever this expression is. And whatever this expression is, whether it be one-pointed breathing or walking, or whether it's being on the phone with another call on hold while you're trying to eat a piece of toast, or whatever it might be, 20 things going on at once. It's not a matter of that. It's finding the place where you are. As he says over and over in various places, find where you are. Practice then, practice realization occurs, actualizing the fundamental point. You know, we let go of the conditioned, like the way the barriers we cook up or create between the ears and the way that we understand and misunderstand things. You know, we see, go beyond that, or take the backward step with that, you find that it is always the right place. It's always the right expression. It's always the right time. The function of this moment is always apparent. And then the way this life flows, functions. And you face to face then, it's like mystery as it is. Yeah. You don't have to, it has to be worked out. It has to be thoroughly, intimately lived. This one, as you are, as I am. How could it be any other, anything else? And as he says, you know, at the end there, don't be suspicious of the true dragon. It's not about looking at this, how it is, based on picking and choosing and looking for something else. It's don't be suspicious of the true dragon, this one. And it's important to enjoy it. You know, it can sound kind of funny with session, or, you know, we have some with pain and difficulty, and we go through all kinds of things, but we do it in a supportive environment. And whatever happens, you know, somebody's been through that before. We have this container where everybody is welcome. You know, but it's important, they say, to enjoy. This is our life. So this time that we have left, the day, enjoy it, enjoy every period here, enjoy kinhin, enjoy eating, enjoy going to bed, whatever it is, you know, really become intimate with this. And thank you for listening. We'll finish.